Senate Republican President Len Fasano is on the phone, as he promised me last week he would be here on Tuesday morning. Hey, you're one of the few politicians that keep their promises, Senator.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good, we're doing all right.
All right.
Sorry for a little tardy phone call. I had a problem with my phone this morning, so I apologize.
That's okay. All right. That's all right. Yeah. We knew you'd make it.
Yeah. Senator, what is the latest as far as the budget? I know we're waiting for the House next week, but from the Senate perspective, where do we stand?
Well, from the Senate perspective, Senator Looney and I did have a meeting last week, and I don't think we're able to bridge a gap that we have. And I think the gap exists because Senator Looney wants to accept the governor's union deal without any amendments to it. That is to say, even though we could do other changes to some of the benefits that state workers have, which far exceed what other unions have, or even the private sector, so to reduce our debt going out in the future, I don't think Senator Looney at this time wants to do that. So then the question becomes, if we don't do that, how do we bridge the gap? And I think that Senator Looney are on different pages on how we do that. So I think, in essence, the way this thing works out, at least in my mind, is the union deal is being voted on by the union members, and my understanding is that that vote should be finished by July 17th.
You know, can I just ask you something?
Yes.
Now, what you're doing is putting it off, and it just goes like down the avenue again. So we're not really, in the long run, saving anything.
Well, here's the thing: if Senator Looney and the Speaker refuse to put our budget up for a vote, I can't force it. I've written so many letters just saying put our vote up, put our budget up for a vote. They won't do that. They won't talk to me substantively, because they're saying we're doing the union contract after the union vote, so there's nothing to talk about, Len, because we're not going to do anything more than the union contract. But they don't know if the union contract's ever going to be approved, either by the legislature or by the unions. So I can't dance by myself.
Right.
I can only make these requests, and I said to Sam Looney, let's do it statutorily, and he doesn't want to do that, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. That's his prerogative. But I'm certainly willing to move the ball and have conversations, but I can't have conversations on nothing with no one to talk to.
Wow.
In addition, Brad, if I may, these union contracts, there are 34 of them, plus the CBAC agreement. We have asked the office, the governor's OPM, Office of Policy Management, for copies of the contracts they negotiated so we could read them. God forbid we're able to read something before we vote on it. I have yet to receive, and it'll be a week tomorrow, I've yet to receive any of the contracts.
Wow.
And I can't expect the legislature to be given contracts the day of the vote.
No.
And asked to read through 34 complex documents.
Senator, hold on a sec.
Hold on just a second.
We're going to put you on hold. We're coming up on
okay.
a break.
And we'll be right back with you. Okay, we've got Senator Fasano with us this morning. And again, there's nothing that we can cheer about. That is for sure, Dan, because this is ridiculous, this whole budget situation.
So, Brad, maybe we can get this straight or crystallized from the senator, and he's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Senator Fasano, is the sticking point right now, as far as the union situation is concerned, the extension of this contract another 5 years?
There you go.
Is that the sticking point?
For me, no. Look, when you have a valid contract with someone, put my lawyer hat on. If you have a valid contract for someone and you're asking them to change the terms of that contract, they were going to ask for something in return for breaking the contract, right? They're going to ask for what we call consideration, some value for breaking an existing contract.
Right.
And they're saying for us to change our agreement that ends in 2022, we want you to extend it to 2027. I think that's a fair position to be in. However, the argument that I'm making is, okay, then what are we getting from the state union folks that we would agree to the five-year extension? That means you look at the contract deal. And when you start to look at this deal, you start to raise eyebrows, because the governor argues that there's a $1.5 billion savings in this deal. It occurs to me as I read through this document, is that a gross savings or a net savings? And the reason why I say that is he identified how he got to that $1.5 billion savings. But what he doesn't talk about are the costs that are in this deal that he hasn't mentioned. I mean, this deal is going to cost the state of Connecticut money. For example, they put in a new provision. If in the state, if you have a sick parent or a sick child or a sick spouse, you could take five of your sick days in a row and be with that person. This would allow you to use all of your sick days. So there's not unusual for someone who's been there 8, 10, 12 years to accumulate a year of sick days.
Can you imagine a whole year? This is why we're against this.
Wow.
This is why it shouldn't be.
This would cause that to be a problem, in my view, and a cost. And I'm trying to figure out how much is that cost. So there are provisions like this, and we'll be talking about them starting tomorrow in greater detail. But there are a number of these provisions that I've asked the governor's office to tell me how much is all that going to cost. Because now we're no longer saving $1.5 billion. We are saving, if we're saving any money, it's certainly less than that, because they haven't included the cost of these new provisions that he's not talking about. And there's, I'm going to say, five significant cost factors in this contract that are new contractual rights that I think are going to put the state in further debt as we go on.
Senator and Dan, it's the same old thing. I don't care how you talk about it. It's the same thing that we had years ago, and they're just keeping it on, and they make it sound good, but you wait and see what it would do to us if we get it.
Senator,
here's the thing. Go ahead.
The other question here is, again, and obviously you're in a major leadership role in the state Senate, and you cannot get a copy of what was agreed to between the governor and the unions. Is that right?
Yeah, I've asked for two things. A while ago, I asked for all the contracts, and I have yet to receive all the contracts. And maybe they don't want to give them to me till the voting's done. I don't know. Then the second thing I've asked for is some particulars with respect to the CBAC agreement. Now, that letter, in fairness, went out on Friday. I haven't received a response, but it's only Tuesday, so I'll cut them some slack on that one. But as far as getting me the contracts, I think it's only fair that we're given the contracts. It's a lot of reading to do and a lot of homework, because you got to look at the contracts and say, okay, what was the old contract? What's the new contract to determine what was negotiated in and what was negotiated out? They don't really give us a cheat sheet. So we're really, you know, to answer the question on budget, here's the issue. It really comes down to this. The Democrats, through Governor Malloy and the Democrats, really want the union deal to go through. They can't put a budget out until they find out if this union deal is real. That is,
that's ridiculous.
Approved by the union members and voted by the legislature. So they can't move on the budget till that happens. We're saying, House Republicans and Senate Republicans are saying, forget about the union deal. It's not a good deal. Let's do stuff statutorily. And we're saying, we want to vote on our budget now. That's sort of the stalemate of where things are. I can't force the hand. We're not a majority in the House. We're tied in the Senate. So we're not the majority in the Senate, if you count Nancy Wyman's vote. So, you know, we're sort of in the stall pattern, and I can only sort of push buttons on this side, but ultimately it's up to them.
Wow.
And I will just say this one thing. I think on July 18th, there is no vote in the House on anything.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Wow. Yeah, that's your prediction.
That's your prediction. No vote. No vote.
No vote.
And you're right on the money.
Senator, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.